For I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I give you my faith. And with my faith, you can do anything. Look and behold and gaze. Set your eyes on things above. Set your heart in my love. Set your heart in me, for it is there you will truly be free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, a long time ago, I fell in love with God's Word. And when I was at the age of 12, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And in my late teen years, I backslid because the church that I was going to, the pastors left. And they were struggling, and so I was kind of a sheep without a shepherd. And then I remember coming back to the Lord. And the very first thing I did after backsliding, when I came back to the Lord, was I went into the Christian bookstore and I bought a Bible. It was my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And I've now had like five or six. And literally, I've had to replace them because they were falling apart. But I love God's Word. Amen? You must fall in love with God's Word. Because it's how God communicates. It's how God reveals himself. And when you fall in love with his word, the real author behind the word is the Holy Spirit. He was the one who inspired the authors to write down what they wrote. Holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Ghost. And I love God's word. So here at VCF, you're going to get God's word. Whether you like it or not, It's gonna come at you because it is the thing that can help you in every area of your life. I mean, after all, God used his word to create this universe. And this universe is held together, hasn't it? So there must be some power behind God's word. And also, keep Brandon and Elena's family in prayer. Brandon's grandmother went home to be with the Lord this past week, and we're going to celebrate her homegoing on Monday. And I did a funeral yesterday, and I'm doing another one on Monday. But we're going to celebrate life, so it's going to be great. So you love the Word today? Are you ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's Word? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you God's Word today. And God's Word is going to help you handle money. Say, God's Word can help me handle money. Amen. Well, you know, people don't think that money is spiritual. And in itself, it's not. Okay? Money is just a medium of exchange. It's what you do with the money. It has spiritual significance. Okay? Number one, and Luke 16:10. You can go there or follow along on the screen. Luke 16:10. Did you know that your money reveals your faithfulness? What you do with money is what you will do with other things. Okay? Money is, it just gives you a picture of your faithfulness. All right, Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. If therefore you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," that's speaking of money, who will commit to you true riches, or who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Did you know that your money, how you handle your money is connected to you receiving true riches? What are the true riches? It's the treasures in God's Word. Okay? Another thing that I realized is that money is a godly tool or it can be an evil tool, right? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, okay? Say, I'm comfortable about talking about money. If money was important, why did the Bible say talk about it so much? I mean, talents, treasures, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and, well, let's look at the bad side first and then we'll look at the good side next, okay? Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Everybody say the love of. Notice the Bible did not say that money is the root of all evil. It's the loving of it. And people who don't have money can still love money. Okay? Which while some, notice the phrase, coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Isn't faith spiritual? Right? Evil is spiritual on the wrong side. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all evil. All right, let's go down to verse 17. Okay? Notice he said, charge them that are rich. He didn't say scold them. Did he? He said, charge them. Say, look at your neighbor and say, it's okay for you to be rich. Okay? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. How many know you got to trust God, not riches? Okay? Who gives us richly what? All things to what? Say, God gives me things to enjoy richly. Okay? Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and that word communicate means to share. Okay? He's talking to rich people, so he's talking to me. Okay? Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So God says, if you have money, that's great. Use it as a godly tool. Amen? You know, I had the privilege of going to college. And I was on the work study. My dad worked and I studied. Okay. Now, my dad was the one who initiated to me. He said, if you go to college, I'll pay for it. I thought that was a really good deal. That was a good motivator, right? But do you realize ever since I've known about tithing, I've tithed. And my getting my college paid for is a benefit, is a blessing from God. Amen? Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to give you some principles. I'm just sharing some things. And I'm going to actually really be quick today. But it won't lack in substance or content. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you what? Power to what? Get wealth. Do you realize that your ability that you have has been given to you by God to get wealth? All right? Why? Look at the rest of the verse. That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto your fathers, as it is what? This day. Amen? So, Everybody, I have some four little words for you. Everybody say income. All right? Income is what comes to you, however. Okay? Now, you can get an income three ways. All right? You can work or you can earn. Right? You can receive gifts. How many? I like getting money, right? How many? Come on, be honest. How many of you like getting money as a gift? Did you know when you give money as a gift, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? When you don't know what to get someone, give them money and you'll put a smile on their face, okay? So you can work, you can earn, you can receive gifts, or you can make money work for you. How do you do that? You invest. And when you invest, you earn interest, right? How many have a retirement account? Okay? That retirement account, right? You put money into that and it earns interest for a future date. Did you know that God is not opposed to saving? Okay? So when you have income, all right, you've got to do something first with your income. When you get income, the first thing you do with your income, however it comes to you, is you give God his portion. Amen? What's God's portion? Number one, it's a tithe. Everybody say a tithe. That's not a necktie, all right? The tithe means 10%. Everybody say 10%, okay? Where does that come from? Go with me to Genesis 14. Genesis 14. All right? Notice this. And let's go down to verse 18, Genesis 14, 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine and was the priest of the Most High God. Do you know anybody else who's a priest of the Most High God? Jesus, right? He's our great high priest, okay? And so this is Jesus before he was Jesus, okay? He shows up after this battle that Abraham won with 300 men. He defeated five kings, okay? A little over 300 men. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Notice he was calling God possessor of heaven and earth, not Abraham or Abram, okay? "And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hands." I want you to notice that who delivered his enemies into his hands? God delivered. It was a supernatural victory, okay? "And he gave him" what? Tithes of what? All. Everybody say tithes of all. Okay? That's income. What did he get for winning the battle? He got spoils. Okay? He had all this stuff. And the first thing he did was he honored God. Okay? Now, this was before the law. Okay? Did you know that when God establishes something and there's no law for it, it's going to stick? Right? Okay. So the first thing we do is we give our tithes. So under income, everybody say, give some. When you have income, you give some. All right? Income, give some. You give 10%. That's your tithe. But then beyond that, it's called free will offerings. Everybody say free will. All right? God does not twist your arm. God does not force you, but God gives you an opportunity. Okay? The reason it's called a free will, because you do it willingly, freely. Okay? You're not forced to, but you get to. Everybody say, I get to give. Okay? God doesn't force you, but see, what happens is, anything that you give to God multiplies supernaturally. The little boy, Jesus was preaching, And he noticed that the people had been with him for several days. There were 5,000 men, not including women and children, probably 15,000 people at least. Right? Because back in those days, they had big families. Okay? And he says to the disciples, "You feed them." The disciples are like, "What you talking about, Jesus?" You know, so they kind of rummage around. Okay, if we spent 200 denarii, that wouldn't be enough for everybody, right? But then another disciple said, "Well, I got a little boy's lunch, but what is that amongst so many?" Oh, he said, "It's not a lot in your hand, but when you give it to me, what happens? It multiplies." How many 7 to 9 year old boys freely and willingly give their lunch without anything in return? Come on. Nate, when you were 7 to 9, would you willingly give up your lunch? So this little boy gave his lunch to Jesus. In the little boy's hands, it was a two-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's with some hush puppies. Right? And that's all it was. But once it got into the, once ownership was transferred to the master kept taking that lunch and feeding this one, and feeding this one, and feeding this one, and feeding this one, and feeding until everybody ate the whole and couldn't eat more, and there were 12 baskets left over. What happened from the moment the little boy had it in his hand and he gave it to Jesus? It multiplied. Only when you transfer it to Jesus does it have the ability to multiply. When we keep it, it stays as is. But when we give it, something supernatural happens to it and it multiplies. So everybody say, income, give some. All right? Now, after you get some, that's income, and you give some, then you should save some. Everybody say, save some. Did you know that God is not opposed to saving? Did you know that Joseph, when he was in Egypt, for 7 years, he set aside extra at a 20% interest rate? The Bible says he set aside a fifth. That's 20%. So for 7 years, Joseph placed the grain in an investment account at 20% interest. Okay? But when he did that, something again supernatural happened. He knew that he had some inside information from God. God said there's going to be a famine. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. See, when you save, you're putting something away for the future, right? You're denying something now so that you can have something later on, right? So Joseph, he took the 20% of grain, and when the famine hit, the only place that you could get grain was the person who saved it for 7 years. And God put his man into Egypt for such a time as this, to save his people. So everybody was hungry, so they came to Egypt. Here's the good part. Every country around Egypt had to go to Egypt to buy grain. See, now Joseph is getting a return on his investments. And he wasn't even a citizen of Egypt, yet he became the head of the finances of the country. About changing a nation? Amen? Okay. Everybody say income. Give some. Save some. Then invest some. All right? Invest some. Make your money work for you. Find something that pays a little bit more interest. Did you know that when your money is working for you, it's sweatless victory? I don't have to sweat when I invest. I just have to invest. And trust God. He'll let you know to put your money. Okay? Now, when the Israelites left Egypt, the Bible says they plundered Egypt in how many days? One day. Everybody say one day. It took one day. How did they plunder Egypt? With some great plan? Some great scheme? No, God said, go to your master and ask them for their stuff. Now, Paul, how would it work? If you went to your boss, said, I really like your car. I want your car. Right? Or, you know, how many, it's hard to get from your boss's stuff, right? But guess what? Israel weren't even employees. They were slaves. And God said, go and ask your master for stuff, for clothing, for gold and silver. And when they did that, God supernaturally touched the heart of their master. And they said, here you go. Yeah, here's my wallet. Here's my wardrobe. Take it and go. And Israel had all this stuff. They had gold, they had silver, they had wardrobe from Egypt. What do you think they did with that? I mean, there wasn't banks in the wilderness. There wasn't malls in the wilderness. There wasn't shopping centers in the wilderness. But there was something that God wanted them to build called a tabernacle. And Exodus 24 and Exodus 35, God said to Moses, receive from the people an offering for me, God talking, to build the tabernacle. So all the stuff that they brought from Egypt, when it came time to invest, God had them invest in the tabernacle, and they supplied all the things that the tabernacle needed. And guess what? This was the only time in the Bible where the people said, tell the people to stop giving because they give too much. We have more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. You talk about supernatural. They're in the wilderness, excuse me. And they build God a tent covered by four different coverings with gold stuff inside. Valuable stuff. The closer you got to the most holy of holies, the more valuable it got. Right? Outside was bronze. Inside was gold. Hammered gold. Light stand. Table covered in gold. The Ark of the Covenant, which held the Ten Commandments. Everybody say income. Everybody say give some. Say save some. Say invest some. And then now you can spend some. All right? But here's the problem when we switch that around. We spend some. We invest some. We save some. And when it comes time to give for God, we have none. Because we have no blessing on that. Because God is not first. God will only bless when he's first. And let me tell you something. His blessing can multiply the 90% far more than the 100% you had. I didn't know I was going to go this route today, but God did. All right? Now, here's a phrase that they told me in Bible school back in 1990. I still remember it. It goes like this. When your output exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Let me say that again. When your output exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Right? Now, Matthew 6:33. It tells us to put God first. All right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Which comes first, the things or God? Yeah, seek God first. Put God first, and God will bless the rest. All right? You've got to believe that he'll bless the rest. You've got to believe that God will do it. He will. It's true. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. You know what? When it comes to giving, we ought to be lavish giving to God. Why? What has he given us? Imagine if God charged us for the air we breathe. 10 cents a breath. What are you doing? I'm holding my breath. God does not charge us for the air we breathe. He gives it to us how? Freely. What if God charged us for how we were designed? Well, I designed you this way, so I need a cut of 50%. Right? No, God doesn't do that. Okay? All right, Luke 21, verses 1. Luke 21:1. And he looked up. Would it make you nervous if Jesus is watching you write your check? If Jesus was looking over your shoulder going, okay, Jesus is watching people. What's he watching them do? He's watching them give. Why? Whether we realize it or not, God sees it because he sees our heart. Okay? God knows if you're a giver or not. He doesn't really have to watch us because he sees it. He looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Okay? And he saw a certain poor widow casting in either two mites. All right? And he said, of truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have out of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. In other words, they had plenty left over. But she, of her poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. The New Living Translation says it this way. They have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. For others offered their gifts from what they had to spare. This is the English version. They offered their gifts from what they had to spare of their riches, but she, poor as she is, gave all she had to live on. Why would someone give all? I mean, really, two mites, two copper coins, what's that going to get you? Do you realize I went to McDonald's the other day? They don't even have a dollar menu anymore. Everything's... They have things that aren't a dollar anymore. What's going on? Where was she giving? Where was she giving? Into what treasury? The treasury of the temple. Okay? She gave all she had. Why? Because she... What she had wasn't enough, so she needed something to multiply. The only way that she could have it multiply was to give it. That takes faith. That takes trust. That takes believing God. And Jesus was right there. Jesus saw and Jesus commented. How many do you know? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the rest of the story, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that woman went blessed. The Lord took notice of how she gave and what she gave, and the Lord blessed her. Why? Because we see it throughout the Bible. And if God did it before, if he did it to the women of Zarephath, He did it to this woman. Amen? You can't be God-given. You know what? Let me give you some words that the Bible uses concerning giving. Okay? This is giving. Giving is a privilege. Everybody say it's a privilege. And a joy with a big smile on your face. We ought to have a big smile on our face when we give in offerings. Why? It's a joy. I mean, could you see Jesus? God says, I want you to go to earth. Okay, if I have to, I'm going to go to earth and die for these people. That would not have went over well. I mean, Jesus went to a cross with a good attitude. He did not stop like, you know. No. Okay? Romans 12:8. I'm just going to give you these. I'm going to give you a lot of these scriptures. So it's going to be hard to turn to everyone. So just write the reference down. Okay? If you want my notes, I'll give you my notes. All right? Romans 12:8 says, he who gives, give with liberality. Okay? Or share it generously. 1 Peter 4:8 says, be hospitable without grumbling. Serve others faithfully. The believers in the early church, they sold lands and gave the entire proceed of the sale. They went above and beyond 10%. They gave the whole thing. They gave the whole proceed. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I want you to see this one. Acts 20, 35. Acts 20, 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that's not a scripture, but Paul is quoting Jesus. He's saying it's more blessed to what? Than to receive. What does that mean? A giver is more happy. A truly generous person rejoices in the opportunities to do good. It means more blessed to give means it's a higher privilege. It tends to more happiness. The giver is more blessed or happy than the receiver because there's pleasure in the act of giving. How many has ever gotten a good feeling from giving someone a gift? I mean, it does something on the inside of you. It pulls a heart cord, right? The most truly happy man is the one who's most benevolent. I mean, look at Jesus. There's no one who gave as much as Jesus, right? And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He went to the cross with joy because he, and now he's rejoicing in the resurrection. He's rejoicing because he's sitting at the right hand of God and he's praying. He was glad to give his life. He did it freely and willingly. Don't raise your hands. Just keep smiling and looking forward. But if you're married, have you ever had intense discussions about money? Couples? Huh? Has money ever been a factor for causing you to raise your voice or stomp your feet? Amen? I'm sure that it has at some time. All right? Okay? Now, what are some rules of giving? You want to know some rules of giving? This is found from Deuteronomy 16, verses 10 through 7. Give as the Lord blesses you. right? God will never ask you what you don't have. Because guess what? He knows what you have. He'll never ask you for something you don't. You can't give God on credit, right? If you don't have it, he won't ask for it, okay? God is not Visa or MasterCard, right? If you don't have it, he won't ask for it. He only asks for what you have, not what you don't have. Okay? Give as the Lord, God blesses you. Verse 11, rejoice before the Lord as a family. Verse 12, remember where you came from and observe God's statutes. Some of us came out of a lot of stuff. And look at us now because of God. God changed that. God moved in your life. God delivered you. Verse 15. The Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and the work of your hands. Now, at that time, he's talking to an agricultural society. When you're blessed in your fruit and your land, you're blessed, right? When a farmer has good fruit and good land, he's blessed, right? Those are keys to his income, okay? Give on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 2. Lay it aside, all right? Lay it aside, okay? Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver, all right? Give on purpose, as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly. How do you know someone's grudgingly? They look like they just drank some lemon juice. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What will God do if you give his way? What will he do for you? Are you ready to get real excited? Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. He just says about giving and sowing sparingly or bountifully, okay? And with the right attitude. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. How many would like all grace? All of God's ability. Okay? That you, always having all sufficiency, or being self-sufficient, being every way always self-sufficient, so that you can abound to every good work. So God will give you all grace. You'll always be sufficient in all things that you can abound to every good work. Verse 10, he supplies seed to the sower. Who does he give seed to? Who's a sower? A sower is a giver, right? He'll both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. You see that phrase there, multiply your seed sown? Multiply what seed? Seed that's what? Sown. Okay? And increase the fruits of your righteousness. That sounds to me like giving is really spiritual. Okay? Verse 11. If it doesn't get any better than this, being enriched in everything. How many want to be enriched in everything? Then be a giver. God's a giver. Does God lack anything? No. When we're giving, we're just being like God. All right? Which, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Well, when you're enriched in everything, you're going to be a lot more thankful. Amen? Verse 12. For the administration or the rendering of this service not only supplies the want or the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And if you want to really get something out of that passage of scripture, read it from the Amplified. Woo, baby. I'm telling you, when you read it from there, the Amplified really makes it good. It makes you want to shout. Hallelujah. Why am I saying this? We're coming to the end. The end of the age. We're coming to the point when Jesus is returning back, and he's coming back for a glorious church, right? One without spot, one without wrinkle, right? One who possesses the power of the Holy Spirit, one who can cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the kind of church that he's coming back for. And before he comes back, we're going to see the greatest harvest of souls that we've ever seen before. And what's the most expensive time of farming? Is it harvest time? When you got all the big equipment ready to go and you're bringing, and you got just a period of time, right? You got a period of time to bring in the fruit. If you wait too long, it rots on the vine. Let's be givers. Amen? Let's be investors into God's kingdom. Amen? And let's believe God that he'll multiply it. Let's be tithers. Let's be givers. Listen, if you want to be a receiver, you got to be a giver. Amen? Giving is fun. I've got so many benefits of giving, I can't list them all. But a couple weeks ago, I shared about how God gives to us. If you missed that message, go back and find out how God gives to us. Amen? Or what he gives to us. God's given us the greatest gift of all, his son Jesus Christ. And it is only through him that we get to the Father. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not asking of us anything that he didn't do himself. There was nothing he held back. There was nothing he held on to. Let me tell you something. This life is going to pass away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But there's one thing that's never going to pass away. That's God's word. Amen? What would you rather have at the end of your life? A bunch of stuff or a legacy of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Which can you take into heaven? I've done many funerals and I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Why? Because you can't take it with you. So you might as well put it to use for you while you're here. Amen? And I just want to encourage you. Okay? Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen? He's given us everything. And what he asks from us is just a portion. He doesn't ask you to give everything. He just asks for what he asks for. But when you give it, he will bless it. He will increase it. I can share testimonies of how I was delivered from accidents. When I was in Tulsa, I was coming home. I had my dad's van because I was bringing all my stuff home. And I was going my last day of work. And a guy ran a red light and broadsided me in a van, in my dad's van. It took three more weeks or so to get the van fixed. But you know what? I walked away from that without a scratch. Why? That's a blessing of God. Amen? I mean, God has delivered me countless times from things where I should not even be standing here. But we serve a good God, and he delivered me because I put my trust in him. He has my life. And anything that he wants of mine, I will give it to him freely because he's got better things that he wants. Amen? So what I'm asking you today is give God your heart. Give God your life. Give God your all. Don't hold back. Amen? You're going to have to change your mindset. But when you come in, when you tap into the generosity of God, ooh, there's a divine flow that you get into. And R.W. Schambach said it this way. He said, you can't be God-given. I like that. Now, if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, we would love to pray for you, for healing, for anything that you need, because we believe in the power of prayer. And we believe that in the laying on of hands, where God transfers his power to you. And if there's anybody here that you don't know Jesus, you've never been born again, you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart to be Lord of your life, you know, that's the first decision. That's the first thing you got to give to God. Is there anybody here that's never been born again? You all know Jesus? Amen? That's great. That's awesome. On Wednesday, we had two people filled with the Holy Ghost. That was a great night. You know, this Wednesday, God woke me up early a couple days ago, and he brought to my mind places where his glory was seen and manifested. That's where we're going to start this Wednesday. We're going to talk about places that experience God's presence. Amen? So if you need prayer for anything else today, just come on up and receive and believe God, and he'll touch you. He'll lift you up. If you need prayer for anything, just come on up. We're just going to take a few minutes. Whoever needs prayer for anything, just come on up right now. Hallelujah. God is good. He is gracious. Hallelujah. Father, I just give you thanks and praise for your awesome, almighty grace.